Welcome to a postgame edition of Locked On Grizzlies here for this Tuesday morning. My name is Peter Edmiston, and it was another loss for the Grizzlies, something that unfortunately you guys as fans, the players, and those of us covering the team are all getting used to. Five straight now for the Grizzlies. This one was a little bit closer, and this is why I've titled the pod Two Steps Forward, One Step Back. Because it was a bit of a step in the right direction, even if ultimately the outcome wasn't particularly what you wanted to see. Grizzlies lose this one 100-92. Grizzlies fall to Portland in a game that was, to be honest with you, straddling that line between defensive struggle and boring crap basketball. That's a fine line that Grizzly fans have seen a lot of over the years. And most of the time, I think that they sort of navigate on the good side of that line. Most of the time, where you kind of ended, or at least in the past, they did, where you ended up seeing enough good basketball that it made up for some of the bad stuff. And it made up for the fact that, some of it was a little bit on the boring side. This one, I don't know that it got to that point. I don't know that you got to the good side of the ledger, because there were a lot of just missed shots by the Grizzlies, and to be fair, by the Blazers too. A lot of just kind of, I don't know, not great basketball. But you know, this was an interesting game and an interesting situation because of the fact that the Grizzlies, you know, had lost four straight going into this one. You wondered how this game would go. Even, you know, win or lose, you just kind of wondered how would the team look. And in that sense, you know, I think that there were a lot of positives to take, because it even though you're dealing with a team that is still racked by injuries, you had, you know, Mike Conley's out for a while. Wayne Selden is back on the shelf with a quad injury. Brandon Wright now, you throw him into the mix with a groin injury that he picked up in the game against the Rockets on Saturday night. So he's out of action. Then you have the guys that are continually injured, who now are not 100%. You know, you know Mario Chalmers is still dealing with, you know, his recovery. He's not 100% this year. Hasn't been anywhere near 100%. Tyreke Evans is not 100%. You know, he not only had the flu on Saturday, but he suffered a stinger in that game, and he was kind of, you know, dealing with a shoulder problem, couldn't really practice very well, and said it certainly affected him in the game. So he's your best bench performer, and he's not 100%. So it's just crazy when you look at what the Grizzlies are dealing with. With minutes limitations that are out there, with guys that aren't fully healthy, it's tough. And it led to some lineups that were really bad and ultimately cost the Grizzlies this ball game. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But from an overall good news standpoint, at least you saw a response from the Grizzlies that was positive. You know, this was a tough time. You know, you heard the comments on yesterday's pod coming from Marc Gasol, who was very outspoken about the way that he saw the team play, the fact that he felt like they basically capitulated, that he apologized for the effort, all of those things. Well, you'll hear from Marc later on, and he's not saying that stuff. After this one, he's in a little bit of a better frame of mind based on the effort level, based on the connectedness, based on the fact they did play good defense. They did get stops. They did stay more or less with the plan that they wanted to execute. They did a reasonably good job against Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Did not stop Shabazz Napier off the bench. Did not do anything on the boards at all. Really struggled in dealing with the Blazers from a rebounding standpoint, where they just killed the Grizzlies overall 60-35 on the boards. And then if you look at just percentages, you know, where the Grizzlies got 10% of available offensive rebounds, the Blazers got 33% of available offensive rebounds, just crushing them on the boards. Yeah, that stuff is problematic, and it ultimately costs the Grizzlies. But overall, this was a better effort. And, you know, that's, listen, man, you know, when things have gone the way they've gone for the Grizzlies, and you're dealing with all the adversity that they're going through right now, that it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. We talked about it yesterday on the podcast, and I said, if it doesn't start here, then you look at the next game, you got Dallas, and Dallas is coming off of a game on Monday night where they could have and probably should have beaten the Celtics, the hottest team in the league. Instead, they lose in overtime, but they're going to be coming in off of a high, feeling pretty good about themselves. This is also the game before Thanksgiving, which means it's a little bit of a weird one. Then the Grizzlies have Thanksgiving, then they head out to take on a Denver team dealing with some injuries, Paul Millsap, and not playing their best basketball right now. But point being, you're playing quality teams coming up after Denver. We went through the whole schedule, and it's full of really good teams. So that Dallas game is the one where you gotta get it, and that puts a little bit of pressure on that game in my mind because of, you know, what's coming up on the schedule. So that's something that we'll get into in just a moment. For the Grizzlies, it ultimately came down to a stretch of basketball in the second quarter where the bench is, it's so limited right now. Personnel-wise, skill-wise, everything else-wise, it's limited because you've seen guys that were on the bench at one point. You had Chandler Parsons on the bench at one point, Mario Chalmers, Dylan Brooks, that go alongside Tyreek Evans. Now it is Tyreek Evans along with Jarrell Martin, Andrew Harrison, James Ennis, who was a starter, now is coming off the bench, Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis, some combination of those guys if you're going with a bench unit. And all of those guys have issues that they are going through. All those guys have issues that they are dealing with one way or the other that mean they're on the bench, whether it's injury or whether it's lack of performance or somebody else jumping in the starting lineup ahead of them. None of them are perfect, to say the least. And that stretch of time in the second quarter when you saw that bench group, it was an all-bench group, and it involved Jarrell Martin, Andrew Harrison playing a particularly tough three-minute stretch where he jacked up three threes and missed them all, and James Ennis, who I talked to David Fizdale after the game about, who has really fallen off for whatever reason, whether it's mental with him and, you know, losing his starting spot has hurt him, you know, psychologically, whether there's something going on physically. He got blown by a few times. He's been blown by of late on the defensive end, and that's not like him. He's a guy that's a pretty solid player. So something is going on with James Ennis, but that stretch of time when he played, Jarrell played, it was bad. And the Grizzlies had a 2-for-19 run of about 8-9 minutes where it really cost them. And you saw the Blazers, you know, take a pretty big lead. And from there, the Grizzlies were probably the better team for the last 27, 28 minutes of the game, including most of the second half. But didn't matter because they were just too far down and had too much work to do. Even when they took the lead, they couldn't quite maintain it. It was always an uphill climb. You know, the margins are really, really thin for this group right now. Margins are really thin. There's not a lot that you can do that is gonna, you know, really, like, you can't play around. And you can't have an 8 or 9 minute stretch where you just basically go scoreless. The Grizzlies have played good defense, but when they play good defense, they struggle to find good offense. Sometimes they play good offense, as you saw against Indiana, but they play horrendous defense. putting those two things together has been difficult for them. But there are some good things, as I mentioned, you know, from the game. Even when you shoot 38%, you hold Portland to just under 40% from the field. They only took 15 threes, which, you know, Portland is not a huge three-point attempt team, but nonetheless, that's still a nice number in terms of defense. I thought the Grizzlies really got screwed over by a lot of the calls. Not a good night, again, for the officials. Some bizarre decisions, to say the least. And they were costly for the Grizzlies because the Blazers, yeah, did really feast at the foul line quite a bit in this ballgame. The Grizzlies did a good job of limiting turnovers and did take advantage of Portland's turnovers as well. So there were those things were good. The Grizzlies forced 17 turnovers from the Blazers. That's activity. That's better activity on the defensive end. And it was for all of those reasons that when I had a chance to talk to Marc Gasol after the game, he was much more positive overall than he had been on Saturday night.
It's not the outcome that we all wanted, but there were a lot of things that we can build on, that we can learn from. Unlike the game against Houston, where it's the complete opposite. I think in this game we saw obviously we have a great night shooting, but defensively we're way more engaged, way more physical, way more aggressive, way more proactive, and that's what it's going to take. Obviously, then we have to on offense make shots and you know give good passes, but those things you can clean up and you can build on, and it's obviously still not a good feeling to lose ever, but it gives you the feeling that you can build on it, and they can come back tomorrow and watch film, and everybody just keep looking at themselves and see what they got to do as a professional, and it's that simple. Not in a negative way. Just see what your job is, see where your shots are coming from. See what you need to do to help the team. So I think that's what my take from the game tonight is.
With so many of your teammates being younger, you guys not having necessarily gone through this, but are you pleased to see that this is the response to what was the adversity that
they faced?
Have
to show them, though. We as you know, as, me as the leader of the team, I got to show them, you know, the way and not. Not by, you know, making shots necessarily or, you know, just the energy, the body language, all those things go a long way with some of the guys being on the ear, especially when things go bad for them. You just want to be on the ear and talking to them and, like, knowing that you have their back no matter what the outcome might be. You know, when you make shots and you know you think you're really pretty and everybody loves you, and when you're not making shots or you're in the doghouse, not playing much or getting pulled out of the game really quick, you think you're really ugly and nobody loves you. So, you know, you're not that pretty, you're not that ugly. So you just want to be in the happy balance and know that your teammates have your back. And as long as they do the right thing out there, I'm always going to have their back.
Does it change the you go game to game as a process, not
always,
so much.
Always.
Does it change, though, is there more pressure on the Dallas game? Is there more because of the loss situation?
No, I mean, obviously, I mean, maybe for some of the guys, but you know, I'm going to let them know. You play the right way, good things are going to happen. Maybe not right away, as you wish, but you play the right way, you help your teammate, and it's going to come back around and help you. So, you know, we do that, and we do that every night, and we do that in every practice, every shoot around. We have each other's back. We as players do our job. Things are going to get better. Right now, obviously, you know, it's hard to sleep and it's frustrating and nobody likes this situation, but it's the one you're in. So what you're going to do to get out of it? So
you heard Marc talk there about setting an example, about you know doing what he needs to do to be a leader. And I thought you know these are good signs from Marc after you know being really down on Saturday, and yeah, I thought the body language was good in the game today. I thought the body language after the game was good. He was in a positive frame of mind, much more so than he was on Saturday. You know, he's going to have to be. It's tough. It is tough because he looks around that locker room, and you don't see a lot of connection. In the 10 years that he's been in Memphis, more or less, Mike Conley's pretty much it. I mean, you look around the locker room, and yeah, Jermichael Green has been on previous, you know, Grizzly teams, but not that many and not for that long. You know, James Ennis, he knows to some extent. Chandler Parsons was on the team last year. And you know, some of the younger guys that he's known for a little while, but they weren't integral parts of things. There's really just not a lot of connection to that integral time. Mario Chalmers for, you know what, a little while, 50 or 60 games. I mean, there isn't that connection. And so he really, I think, feels like he's got to be even more of a leader than he has been. And, you know, for Mark, that's still a work in progress to be that leader and to have the kind of positive body language that he needs to have and to put an arm around these guys. And he mentioned some of that stuff. So that's positive for me. That's where he needs to be. It's not easy. It's not a natural thing, I don't think, for Mark to be that sole leader and to have to carry that weight of positivity. He's not a positive guy by nature. He's more of a contemplative, introspective, hypercritical type guy. That's more, I've always said he's kind of like an artist in good and bad ways. He creates some really creative stuff on the court, but he also can be a little bit moody, hard to deal with sometimes, and very much demanding in a way that other guys aren't. He's got to push that to the side right now and be more focused on leadership, and he's doing that. I think he's doing that, and he's in a good frame of mind for that, so that certainly helps. Another guy in a good frame of mind, at least comparatively, was Chandler Parsons, who is continuing to play the longest stretch that he has played as a Grizzly and play effectively. Now, starting his second straight game, he was not at his absolute best. He certainly wasn't as effective, you know, from a statistical standpoint as he had been on Saturday night, but he was positive on the defensive end. And I thought he played pretty darn well, and this is his best stretch, you know, as a Grizzly by far. And he was pleased, I think, overall with what he was able to do personally, even though he wasn't thrilled about what happened with the team. You'll hear from Chandler coming up in just a moment. Chandler Parsons, after going 2 of 8, he had a lot to say, both good and bad, about his current situation and about where the team is at. So Chandler Parsons, here is a little bit of what Chandler had to say in the locker room after the Grizzlies' loss to the Blazers.
Our effort tonight, you know, put us in position to win the game. You know, we can feel better about the way we competed and played tonight. And you know, after the Houston game, I think we all had a disgusting taste in our mouth. And we, like I said, we put ourselves in a way better position tonight to finish the game. And you know, we got to take our focus off, you know, missing shots and the referees. And, you know, we have no time to feel bad for ourselves right now. The only way we're going to get out of this is together and to continue to work and play harder. So, you know, tonight I thought we made some steps forward, but at the end of the day, you know, still lost to a team that we're trying to, you know, make the playoffs ahead of. So, can't be too happy. But worst thing we can do right now is to, you know, splinter and split in different directions and start focusing on yourself and what can, you know, what's going bad for you. And, you know, we got to stick together and we got to stay, you know, as one to going forward and take all this frustration out on Dallas Wednesday.
Did you guys like the looks that you were getting on offense?
Yeah, we got much better shots today. We moved the ball. I thought for the most part we made the right play. We played unselfish. You know, we communicated way better on the defensive end, but you know, those are shots that we just got to step up and make. And I know I love the looks I got tonight. I'll take those any night of the week. So we just got to keep playing the right way, playing unselfish, and continue to bear down, play harder, and good things will happen.
How do you connect the offense and defense? You guys have had good offensive games, but they've typically coincided with poor defensive games and good defensive games. How do you connect those two things?
We're trying to put it all together. You know, but it's, you know, I think when we lock in on the defensive end and we get stopped. So it's when we can get out in the break and transition and do what we do best. And, you know, guys like myself and Tyreek and Mario, you know, get in the lane and create for others. And we could always go into Mark in the half court, but we're making it a little difficult on him because all defenses are keying in on him. And the more transition we get, the more we get in the break, I think the better off we'll be. And that starts on the defensive end.
Is it tricky for you to, now that you're starting, but the minutes load is kind of similar in your closing games, there's a little bigger gap. Does that affect you when you come back into the game?
Yeah, it's a little tough. My body obviously gets a little stiff, but it's all a work in progress. And we're trying to figure out the best rotations to, you know, have me feeling my best and having me in the best situation to help this team win. And we got off to a great start tonight. But it seems like it's something different every single game. But, you know, I'm happy the way I'm feeling. And we gotta get out of this losing streak, man.
Are you physically, this is the most you've played probably since earlier on in your Grizzlies run on a game-to-game basis. Are you responding well physically after these
Yeah, efforts? I mean, I have my normal soreness and stuff, and I don't feel like I did when I was 25 years old, but I come in here every day, I do everything I'm you know, capable of doing to make sure I can play that night, and just continue to listen to the trainers. And as annoying as this minute restriction is, you know, got to think big picture, but just trying to make the most of my minutes right now.
Do you think it'll ever be lifted, or will there be a chance that it?
I hope so. That's something you got to ask them.
No, I don't know if the minutes restriction is going to be lifted anytime soon. You know, the Grizzlies have been very serious about taking care of these guys. They're still mindful of, you know, minutes restrictions of all different sorts. And I do think that when I asked Chandler, you know, one of the things that has affected him is going from the starting lineup, and then, you know, he was really good in the first halves and kind of trailed off in the second, because I think, you know, when Fizdale wants him to both start and finish, but in between you've only, you know, you've got 24, 25 minutes, basically his max is 25 right now. You've got those 25 minutes that you have to allocate, and if you're going to start the first five and you're going to finish the first five, or the last five, I should say, well, then you've got 15 minutes in between, and you want to try to, if you're going to start the third quarter, it just becomes tricky to be able to keep him warm and to be able to finish as effectively as he needs to. So that's something they're going to have to kind of keep an eye on and figure out a way to stagger these minutes a little bit more effectively. But overall, you know, I continue to be amazed by the progress that he has made and by the contribution that he's able to give. He's at least able to be pretty effective in these limited minutes, which is, you know, more than you've ever been able to say for Chandler, pretty much ever, as a Grizzly. So that's a positive thing. Tyreek Evans, I thought, was a positive as well, even though, again, you're talking about a guy that had to carry so much, and he was not 100%. You know, he's got that shoulder injury. He still couldn't breathe particularly well because of the flu. So he was dealing with a couple different things, and he was still really effective. And then he had to kind of carry a bench unit that was severely limited. Not easy. I thought overall, Tyreek, you know, he continues to be a source of, you know, so much, both on the positive side, especially, you know, with scoring, and then a little bit on the negative side with, you know, some of the lack of ball movement and a little bit defensively. But overall, he's huge, and it's hard to imagine what this team would be like without his scoring. They would have lost quite a bit more without that scoring. So he's been huge for them. I thought, you know, a couple things, too, from this game. Really effective minutes. Good to see Mario Chalmers improve. There are still things that he's not going to be able to do, defensively especially, but he was really, really good offensively, much better than he had been. Looked much more comfortable. Better decisions overall. 21-6-5, very effective, and just was, this was one of his better games, and it was really needed given the way things went on Saturday. Had to instill a little confidence, had to get back, and I thought he did that. really good minutes from Deonte Davis. That was, I did not see that coming, but Deonte Davis, you know, it would be really beneficial for him, for his career, and for the Grizzlies especially, if he could be good. That would be real handy. They need that third big in the worst way, and with Brandon Wright not being able to play, and frankly, even, you know, he's been hit or miss, Deonte looked engaged, he looked motivated, he looked really terrific defensively. At one point in that third quarter, getting switched on to CJ McCollum and doing a heck of a good job, you know, shutting him down. He, you know, you look at the numbers, it's like 3 points, three rebounds, no big deal, but a couple blocks, and he just looked more like his old self. Huge. Again, keep an eye on it. He's going to get some minutes because there's really no one else that can fulfill those minutes. But if he can do this, now you're talking about, okay, maybe you can plan for the future with him. Maybe you can put him back in the column where you can feel really positive about where he's going to go. He wasn't there a month ago. Now you can kind of slide him back over in that direction. So there are some good things, again, to be taken from what would ordinarily be a situation where you think, oh my God, it's five straight losses. And look, heck, basically every team around them, the rivals, all lost. So you didn't really lose any ground in what is an increasingly competitive / kind of bad middle to bottom of the Western Conference. As I mentioned, the Grizzlies will be in action tomorrow night, taking on the Dallas Mavericks, trying to end a 5-game losing streak, a huge game on the eve of Thanksgiving. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's pod. Hope you guys have a great, great Tuesday. If you want to get in touch with me, please do so at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. Thank you for rating the podcast and for listening and downloading. Email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Grizzlies.